Now, earlier this week, Governor Evers signed a bill that would allocate about 70% of opioid settlement money to Wisconsin counties. At the same time, he called parts of the bill he signed unconstitutional. We're breaking down what this opioid bill means for Wisconsin counties and talk about how certain portions of the bill relate to the 2018 lame duck legislative session and the lawsuits that ensued. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has your community been affected by the opioid crisis? What interventions have worked in your town? Maybe what didn't? What do you think about the latest moves made at the state capitol? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Zach Schultz is a reporter and occasional anchor for Here and Now that airs every week on PBS Wisconsin. Zach, thanks so much for joining us today.
That's my pleasure.
So really quickly, before we get to the bill that Governor Evers signed earlier this week, we just had that news come out from the Attorney General's office that a resolution has been maybe reached about the bankruptcy proceedings with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family. What do we know so far that we're hearing from Attorney General Call's office?
Well, that's a separate issue from the other opioid legislation that was just signed by Governor Evers. The Governor Evers bill has to do with a potential multi-district litigation settlement with the distributors of opioids throughout the country, whereas Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family specifically was targeted on their own because a lot of people believe that they were the origins of the opioid crisis and that everyone else kind of came in after them. Purdue Pharma, of course, created OxyContin. And so that bill is separate, and it wouldn't be part of the same constitutional crisis, as Governor Evers and Josh Call would call it, that has to do with joint finance oversight that's at the core of the bill that they just signed. So separate issues there as well.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of moving parts about one massive epidemic. Now, getting back to the bill that Governor Evers signed earlier this week, can you give us some broad strokes of what this bill in particular aims to do?
Yeah, the core of this bill is not controversial and has bipartisan support. It provides the framework so that the state of Wisconsin can be part of this federal national settlement with the distributors of opioids. Now, there's multiple settlements going on with different cases. There's one against the retailers, one against the manufacturers and the distributors. The distributors is the one that's up first. That has a potential $26 billion involved, spread among 2,500 different municipalities, counties, states across the country. In Wisconsin, this framework that was just signed into law says that any of that money that comes in, 30% of that for Wisconsin will go to the state and the Department of Health and then be distributed through them. And then the other 70% will go to the counties and the handful of municipalities that were involved in that lawsuit. And that overall framework is what everyone wanted in terms of that allows them to be part of the settlement and receive the money and create the structure that says where that money goes, how it's distributed, and how it can be spent in our communities.
And I want to clarify really quickly that this is a proactive bill, as we've gotten to, but we don't know what the settlement is yet, correct?
No, there are no final numbers. There's a lot of estimates. That $26 billion has been thrown out. It's thought that maybe Wisconsin's share could be around $400 million, but that would be spread out and paid annually over the next 10 to maybe 18 years. We're in those end stages where we needed to have this framework in place. So when the settlement is reached, we can start bringing that money in. But people are saying we may not know those final numbers until the end of this year or the beginning of next year.
We're talking to Zach Schultz right now. He's a reporter and occasional anchor for Here and Now on PBS Wisconsin's weekly news program. And Zach, the Attorney General, Josh Call, a Democrat, does not support this bill. Governor Evers is also a Democrat. What happened here? Why is there some disagreement?
Well, the core of the frustration on the part of the Attorney General and on the part of Governor Evers goes back to that lame duck session that happened in that window between when Evers was elected and before he took office, when Republicans in the legislature And then Governor Scott Walker signed legislation that took away some of the individual powers of the executive branches and gave some oversight to the Joint Finance Committee. Now, that was done because Republicans expected that they would maintain control of the legislature, and they wanted a little more oversight over any of these kind of lawsuits and settlements that were reached by the Attorney General that gave the Republicans on Joint Finance some say in how the money was spent or how that would work out. Ever since then, there have been lawsuits. It's been in the court of whether that's constitutional, whether it's allowed to transfer those powers away from an independently elected constitutional officer like the Attorney General. So far, that hasn't been finally decided by the court. And so the crux of the issue here is Governor Evers said in his signing message, I believe that Section 2, the portion that gives Joint Finance some oversight on this settlement, is unconstitutional, but I'm still going to sign the bill. And the thought is he's saying that so that when the Wisconsin Supreme Court eventually does rule on this case, it doesn't look like he agreed to that portion and said, okay, I understand that they have oversight.
It sounded like, yeah, that he might have proactively kind of put his flag in the ground where he stands. So there's no maybe misgivings there. So let's look again at Act 57. How does this limit how counties can use the settlement funds once they actually arrive?
Well, that's still in negotiations as well, but there is expected to be at least a 10-page list of things that can that are appropriate. And the idea here is opioid mitigation and abatement. So things that help prevent the problem from spreading and things that help people recover in their communities. So a lot of the local health directors and people that I've spoken with say they expect this to add additional dollars to the programs that help people that are battling with opioids and addiction and keeping them from continuing to have problems and keep reappearing. So getting them out of the system and back on a path to recovery. But there's also things that could go into some sorts of law enforcement, especially when you talk about programming that are in our jails, because a lot of the people enter the system that way, and keeping them away before they become a fatality statistic or another statistic that really hurts our communities, trying to find ways to fund those programs.
Now, Act 57 also created a deadline for new plaintiffs. So why was that?
Well, part of the settlement agreement at the national level said that the distributors wanted to make sure that there were no additional lawsuits, that someone else couldn't file a suit, you know, a copycat suit just a few weeks later and say, hey, I need some more money, too. And the idea was anyone who was already in the lawsuit had already created the idea of what their damages were, how their communities have been affected. But what happened was the legislature introduced the bill on June 4th, but said you had to have sued by June 1st. So it was actually a retroactive deadline. So some of the communities that were in the works and thinking about getting in on this lawsuit lost that opportunity because even once the bill was announced, it was already too late. There were a handful of communities in southeast Wisconsin that were able to file on May 18th, just a couple weeks before. I asked a lawyer representing them how that came to be, and he said it was just a coincidence. He said they were happy that they're able to go forth with their claims, but it was simply because they happened to get them filed then, whereas some other cities are out of luck right now.
So 70% of the settlement money, once it arrives, will go to counties, but will also go to cities. Is there any how's the breakdown happening between, larger county areas and smaller municipalities?
Well, there's an expectation that larger parts of the state are going to receive more of this funding. The exact agreement on how that is split will be part of the settlement. So once again, more details that we don't have yet. But the general expectation is that Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee will receive a large portion of Wisconsin's share, simply because that's where the core of the problem is. I mean, two-thirds of the deaths over the last 7 years have come from that part of our, I'm sorry, a third of the deaths have come from that part of the state. And other pockets are definitely dealing with it, especially proportionally for some of these smaller counties, the amount of impact it has on their budgets. But Milwaukee County and some of the larger areas, Dane County, they're definitely going to see a larger proportion of some of these dollars.
Well, Zach, we'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Zach Schultz is a reporter and occasional anchor for Here and Now on PBS Wisconsin. He spoke with us about a bill Governor Evers signed earlier this week that gives 70% of opioid settlement money to Wisconsin counties. As of right now, we do not know that money figure. We will learn in the coming weeks and months. Right now, we pick up our conversation about the ongoing opioid epidemic and the multi-state fight against pharmaceutical companies, retailers, and more for their role in the epidemic. A settlement has been reached in a portion of these lawsuits, and it's estimated to be worth billions of dollars once everything shakes out. And Governor Tony Evers recently signed a bill this week that would distribute some of that money to local governments to combat the crisis. And we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What can local governments do to stop opioid abuse? Do you agree that drug makers and distributors should be held responsible for the opioid epidemic? What would you like to see come next? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Andy Phillips is an attorney at Von Breezen and Roper. He serves as general counsel for the Wisconsin Counties Association. For more than 4 years, he's been working on the lawsuit against drug manufacturers and distributors for harm caused by opioids. Andy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So why did the Wisconsin Counties Association support and lobby for this bill specifically?
Well, this goes back a number of years. As you mentioned, this litigation has been pending for over 4 years now. And when the Counties Association first learned of this nationwide effort to try to hold those individuals and companies that are responsible for the epidemic responsible to county government and other local governments that have borne the cost associated with trying to combat the epidemic, the Counties Association started talking with all the Wisconsin counties, and ultimately 71 of 72 Wisconsin counties unified and decided to file suit. And so the Counties Association, as an advocate for county governments throughout the state, is certainly an advocate for county governments in the context of these lawsuits and these proceedings. And so really, the Counties Association has served as a galvanizing force and a unifying force, speaking on behalf of all county governments to make sure that county governments, as the frontline service providers, are receiving their fair share, so to speak, out of any settlement that may come about.
Now, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Louie in Oconto. Hi, Louie.
Hello, and thanks, JC. You do a great job.
Oh, thank you.
My comment is this. I'm really for the counties having control because they know what's going on at their own county level. And I'm really happy that Tony Evers did this. It seems like the Republicans only want local control when it deals with when it doesn't deal with campaign donors. In this case, they really didn't have a foot to stand on. So thank you.
Louie, thank you so much for that call. And there has been some arguments where people have said, yes, give money in cases like this to local governments because they're on the ground there and they can take care of this because they know the community. How do you respond to that?
Well, when we think about the role of county government, Wisconsin's in a unique position as it relates to the rest of the country. If we look at the programs and the people that are most impacted by the epidemic, we're talking about human services, we're talking about court system, we're talking about health services. Those are all county programs. And in Wisconsin, counties, like I said at the beginning, are at the forefront of this fight. And so putting the funds in the hands of the people who are best positioned to not only deliver immediate aid, but also strategize about the appropriate mitigation and abatement effort makes a ton of sense. And so I love what the previous caller said about this money going to counties and Governor Evers' foresight in understanding Wisconsin's system, because that's so correct. And I think it's entirely appropriate for Wisconsin to allocate 70% to the counties and certain municipalities and then 30% to state and DHS.
And correct me if I'm wrong, there was some really broad support at the county level for this. Is something like 71 out of 72 counties are a part of the lawsuit. Why was it so important really to have about as close to consensus as one could get?
Well, it's important because as counties, as you probably would think, we speak better as a unified group of counties as opposed to having some counties taking one position and other counties taking a contrary position. And so the more that counties are able to come together and, again, unify around a particular position, the more powerful their voice is. And we realized early on that at the national stage, the more we could present a unified Wisconsin effort, the more successful we were going to be. And so, you know, hats off to the Wisconsin counties that got together, realized this, and then again came together to push the result that we have here before us today. And huge credit to the counties association as well.
We're talking to Andy Phillips right now. He's an attorney at Von Breezen and Roper, and he serves as the general counsel for the Wisconsin Counties Association. And he's with us to talk about a bill that Governor Tony Evers signed this week that once we get settlement money from pharmaceutical companies and distributors, that money will, about 70% of it will go to counties and municipalities to address the opioid epidemic in Wisconsin. And right now, we don't know how much money we're actually going to get. Is there any planning that's happening for some of those estimates insofar as you know?
Well, I think there's planning in terms of I think everybody's anxious and excited to start seeing relief and seeing programs related to human services, related to family reunification, related to the foster care system. Any help that they get from dollar one is going to be sorely appreciated. In terms of the amounts and the global amounts, it's really hard to pin down what this could represent. It's a significant sum of money, but it's not, if anybody remembers what happened in the early to mid 90s with the tobacco settlement, it's not that kind of money. So we're not talking that much, but it is still a significant amount of money. And like I said, every little bit helps.
One of the things that that does come up is we can talk about sort of the dollars and cents and how much money is getting allocated, but it's really difficult to quantify the human cost, you know, between addiction treatment. And in some cases, actually in many cases, people have died as a result of this. How do you see counties moving forward once there's a little bit more money in the system to get people treatment or to just help heal these communities?
Well, I think that's a great point. And I think that it's going to take a lot of thinking and a lot of strategizing about how to use these limited funds in the best way possible. And it's not, we can't bring lives back. We can't put families back together that have been broken by the opioid addiction. But what we can do is try to make sure that it doesn't happen to somebody else again. And so I think that the focus is going to be on how do we try to educate the community? How do we put in prevention measures? How do we wrap all of this together to make sure that we stop this epidemic from spreading even further and causing even further damage?
You know, as part of as the opioid epidemic has been underway, a lot of blame has been put on, you know, pharmaceutical companies for being really aggressive in their advertising, on distributors for also being aggressive. Do you see not only this, so the lawsuit that the counties are a part of, but, you know, multi-state law lawsuits being put in place? Do you see this as maybe a warning to future pharmaceutical companies to not do this again?
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. And that's part of what it is we hope to accomplish through litigation, is to send a very clear message to the marketplace that if you are out just for profit at the expense of human lives, at the expense of all of the resources that we as a country, frankly, have devoted to this epidemic, we're going to hold you responsible for those costs. And so if you look at the layers of federal, state, local regulations that manufacturers, distributors, retailers deal with as it relates to prescription medication, sometimes that's not enough. As we've seen with this epidemic, it's fallen through the cracks. And when it does, when you figure out a way to go around that regulatory mechanism, we're going to seek to hold you responsible for those sorts of things.
We only have about a minute left, but Andy, what will you be watching for in the coming weeks or months as we learn more about the settlement and as more of these lawsuits, you know, get litigated?
Well, I think really it's a matter now of at the national level, making sure that we have a solid agreement in place to set the stage for that settlement. And then once that is announced, having a framework, and the counties, like I said, are all working together wonderfully. And so I'm sure that in the coming months, we'll be getting together and talking about the highest and best use for any settlement proceeds. I look forward to further discussions with the counties, with the state, with the governor's administration, with the attorney general's office, with DHS and others to figure out how we abate this epidemic.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Andy Phillips is general counsel for the Wisconsin Counties Association. For the last 4 years, he's been working on the lawsuit against drug manufacturers and distributors for the harm caused by opioids. Governor Evers just signed a bill this week that would help allocate any future settlement money to counties and municipalities across the state to deal with the opioid crisis in their communities.